Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered, Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For it is not I alone who judge, but I am the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. They said to him, therefore, Where is your Father? Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple. But no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. Let's pray. Lord God, we once again thank you for this opportunity for us to gather in spirit and in truth here in your house to worship you as a matter of first importance. But also, Lord, to hear from you, to hear from your word, and to think your thoughts after you. Consider what it is that you are telling us, to inform us about what is right and true, to guide us, but also as part of your work of transformation in our lives as your people. And we pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Several years ago, friends were visiting here in Reno, and we went out to Lake Tahoe with them, and we went on the heavenly gondola ride. Anyone else ever been on a gondola? Yeah, out of Tahoe? Yeah. We went up the gondola, and as we were going up and got higher and higher, we had a beautiful view. Why? Because we were smart. We went during the day. Nighttime, the view is not so spectacular. Why? Well, lack of light. In the day, you can see because of all the light. Jesus, way back in his day when he was here in his years of earthly ministry, said something amazing. He said, I am the light of the world. We are going to look more closely at this claim, this I am saying of Jesus from chapter 8 of John today. First, I think it's probably worth noting and maybe of primary importance to understand that this is a scandalously particular claim. Jesus didn't say he was a light, he said he was the light. Lots of people can and do say they are a light in the world. Self-help authors, guests on television talk shows, professional counselors, college professors, church pastors, socially aware celebrities. Jesus' words, though, indicate something much different, much greater. He said, whoever follows me. He didn't say whoever follows my teaching or my philosophy or my example. He said, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus makes himself the issue. Jesus claimed uniqueness and superiority. Others may rightly claim to offer light. Jesus says he is light, the light, as a matter of identity. Jesus was revealing his transcendent identity as God the Son, agent of creation, source of all illumination. How are we to understand and embrace this provocative saying of Jesus? Well, first, let's think about light for a second. there's a few things I think we can say about what, which are pretty obvious, but we're gonna play Captain Obvious here today together. First of all, this will knock your socks off. Light is different than darkness. Ooh. Oh. Well, I know that's really pretty obvious, but I think it's still significant. Light is foreign to darkness. Light is not a brighter subset of darkness. Darkness has no way in itself of creating or understanding or approximating light. Light originates outside of darkness. You don't get light by rubbing two sticks of darkness together really hard. It has to come from somewhere else. Light is not a filter or a prism you run darkness through to get it to come out some color other than black, which by definition is the absence of color. Light destroys darkness whenever the two meet. It is so different that it is not only incompatible or unmixable with darkness, like oil and water, but also absolutely destructive to it. It kills darkness, by definition, wherever it exists. Might be worth noting that shadows, if this works for you, great, is darkness hiding behind something like me or you. Then light shines. Light shines, and thus it is known. Light shows itself by shining, and thus it illuminates everything else around it. And then light is frequently missed, tragically by the blind, but also easily and willfully by those who close their eyes. You want to miss light? You want to not see light? That's all you have to do. Jesus Christ said, "I am the light of the world." And to bring out the meaning of this statement of Jesus, I'm going to use our vowels, A-E-I-O-U. My hope is, it's a vain hope, but I'm going to hope anyway, that it will help us to remember some of these realities about Jesus that come out because he said, "I am the light of the world." First, Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the light of the world," is A, astounding. What Jesus dared to say, what Jesus claimed to be, was and is astounding. And it strikes me that this reality of Jesus, he is astounding, should be true for believers and unbelievers alike. Look, unbelievers, people that don't believe in Jesus, should be able to see the boldness of this man. To turn him into some kind of interesting but ordinary human teacher, one must shut his or her eyes. He said things like, "I am the light of the world." That is astounding. What do you believe it's true or not? And for believers, this astounding Jesus shows us, and we believe it, who he is, who he can be and is for us. It's astounding. The light of the world. What we believe about Jesus by faith, as he has shown us. Then Jesus Christ is extraordinary. There's E. Jesus is different than the broken world and all its dark ways. You know, extraordinary is this great word. We say, "Oh, that was extraordinary." I mean, it was really great. It was fantastic. But if you actually pick the word apart, extraordinary, beyond ordinary, not just ordinary. Well, Jesus is different than the broken world and all its dark ways. Verse 12 again. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus is foreign to the dark world. Jesus is incomprehensible to a cosmos broken and separated from its creator, to a human race living in rebellion against its rightful Lord. Jesus is not a lighter shade of darkness. a lighter shade of evil or corruption or broken and rebellious humanness. Jesus is light. Jesus originates outside of this dark, broken world of fallen creation. Verse 14, Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going, but you have no idea where I come from or where I am going." We didn't get Jesus because just the right combination of natural elements and psychic realities combined at just the right time and in just the right place. Jesus is not a lighter shade of darkness. He is not simply the greatest man who ever lived and died. He said, "I am." He comes from somewhere else. Jesus is not a better filter for the light, which simply always and naturally exists in the physical universe and moral reality. Jesus destroys evil whenever the two meet. He is so different that he is not only incompatible, unmixable with darkness, like oil and water, but also absolutely destructive to it. Jesus kills darkness by definition wherever he goes. Once again, you can think about shadows, which is darkness hiding behind something, like me or you. Ours is a world of shadows, not forever. Jesus then is incomparable. Jesus shines in his unique words and actions. Jesus shines, and thus he is known. Nobody said the things Jesus said, like, "I am. I am the light of the world." And nobody did the things that Jesus did, like healing the blind man, which is coming up in chapter 9 of John, and other miracles, confounding the religious elite, hanging out with the outcasts. Verse 13, the Pharisees challenge him, "Here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." And they're referring to the law that said, look, if somebody gives a testimony for themselves, all by themselves, that testimony is not valid. Anybody can say anything they want. You need a couple of witnesses. The Pharisees were trying to place Jesus under their law. And in this case, it wasn't right and proper and true, because Jesus was the source of the law. Jesus was and is the foundation of God's law, forever above it. Jesus was, in fact, appearing as his own witness. But that's what real light does. It is known by its shining. And thus, Jesus illuminates everything else. Jesus Christ is, optional. From a certain point of view, a human point of view, a broken point of view, Jesus is optional. Jesus is frequently missed. Tragically, by the spiritually blind, people who are simply ignorant of Jesus. They don't know. They can't see. They need supernatural help. Because naturally, this is what happens to people who are broken, who live this side of the fall in a broken world. Tragically, spiritually blind. Can't see. Don't blame them. But also, easily and willfully, Jesus is frequently missed by those who close their hearts and minds by their own volition, because of moral failure. People who won't acknowledge Jesus, who is right and true, because they prefer their chosen versions of what is wrong and false, their chosen sin. People miss Jesus because of their pride, closing their eyes to the one who is light, because they want to insist that their darkness is light enough. Finally, Jesus Christ is unique. We started with this. He is the light, the bread, the good shepherd, as we're going to see later. Not just a light, not just some bread, a bread possibility. Jesus claimed uniquely to be these things uniquely. He says, whoever follows me. So here's the question. Jesus Christ, my light, your light, our light, he can be missed. All of Jesus's I ams can be like the King of the Jews sign that was attached to the top of his cross. You may remember the story. We read about it in John 19, verse 19 and following. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but rather this man said, I am the King of the Jews. You catch the difference, right? The religious leaders who were having Jesus crucified had good reason to want his kingship claims dismissed and denied. If they were true, they would come out looking very bad. Is it not the same for people through the centuries and today regarding Jesus and his claim, I am the light of the world? If we are rejecting him and following the flickering lights of worldly wisdom instead, and Jesus' statement turns out to be true, how is that going to make us look? We could say either Jesus is the light of the world, or merely that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I think there's seminaries you can go to that will tell you it's the second one. I wouldn't go to those seminaries. This boils down to saying, Jesus tells the truth, or Jesus deceives. It's one or the other. And what evidence do we have to back up either of these statements? Given the historical record we have of this real man's real pattern of behavior, which makes more sense? Jesus tells the truth, or Jesus deceives? This is the difference between accepting and embracing, or rejecting and discarding the truth that Jesus is my light, our light. Jesus shines like light, and he shines to be seen and followed. Here's a little interesting bit of historical background to this narrative that we have where Jesus says, I am the light of the world. It happens in John 7 and 8, where Jesus is speaking at the Feast of Tabernacles, also known as the Feast of Booths, which was one of three main great feasts or festivals of the Jewish people, along with Passover and I think it was a festival called the Festival of Weeks, which was turned into Pentecost. It's what we know as Pentecost, a harvest festival. Well, this was the Feast of Tabernacles, during which time the people were to remember the time when God brought his people out of Egypt, rescued his people out of Egypt through the wilderness. This is why it's called the Feast of Booths, because they built little temporary shelters, little tent kind of things that they lived in for the week-long festival. Again, to remind them of what had happened in the past when God rescued them in the Exodus. And this is where, in the temple, and when, during this Feast of Tabernacles, that Jesus is teaching the people about himself. And I understand that part of the festival of Tabernacles was something called the light ceremony, when huge bowls would be put on stands that with flames inside, and the flames could be seen from all around Jerusalem, these bowls with can light in each of these bowls. This light ceremony, remembering how God led them through the wilderness with a pillar of fire at night. Light came miraculously to illuminate and guide God's people. They were remembering that. And their job, way back then, and I think Jesus is indicating to them regarding him today, their job was simple. Back then, trust the source, follow the light. In the next chapter, you read, we're not going to actually study it together in this series, but you can go look in the Gospel of John, chapter 9. There's this wonderful story, this terrible story, this insightful, provocative story of Jesus healing a blind man. Why did he do it? He tells them. So people will see and believe. That really was the bottom line, transcendent purpose behind all of Jesus' miracles. Not just to get people well. Otherwise, he just would have set up shop and just healed people one after another, as long as he could. But Jesus did these miracles so that people would see them and would believe in him. That was the important issue. That had eternal significance. Jesus is easy to see. As easy to see as light. But as difficult to follow as truth. We need to open our eyes. Jesus is more beneficial to see than mere physical light, and more beneficial to follow than any mere human leader or teacher. No more walking in darkness. We don't have to. Our job is simple, difficult, but not complicated. Trust the source. Follow the light that is Jesus. Doing so, the whole heavenly valley opens up to us because of all the light that is there. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for being with us today, for teaching us from your word. Lord, help us to take these things to heart, to find great hope and encouragement in what you've said, in who you are for us. Lord, give us courage and wisdom. Wisdom to trust the source, you, and wisdom to follow the light that you give. We pray this in your name and for your sake. Lord, hear us now as we also pray for one another. We want to remember those who have asked us to pray for them. And so we pray for our pastor nominating committee. Thanks for the prayer guide that's now available to us. Help us to be diligent in our prayers for your will and your glory. In the process of finding a new pastor and in the days to come to this new adventure that you have for this church. Lord, we pray for friends and family, acquaintances of our church who are in need right now. We pray for Scott, for Joyce, for Dawn, and for Nancy. We pray for our neighbors next door. We pray for those serving in the military, for Noah, Karen, Cody, Matthew, Weston, Chase, Levi, Gary, Molly, Brian, Anna, Margaret, Benjamin, Chandler, Caleb, and Jacob. Lord, hear us as we share together once again in the special prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forget those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.